Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Asia Scotland Institute podcast. Today, we'd like to be joined by Gavin Wilkins, the Chief Commercial Officer of Hawksford, a leading international provider of corporate trust and fund administration services. Gavin brings over 20 years' experience in finance, specializing in international capital management, fund services, and alternative assets, among much else. He's worked and traveled widely across APAC and is a committee member of the British Malaysian Society. Today, we'll be discussing the ASEAN region, home to the world's fastest growing economies, and specifically what Scottish companies and investors can do to help access these markets and how Hawksford can help. Gavin, thanks for coming on.
Sean, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. So, Gavin, what does the economic landscape for ASEAN look like right now? How does this compare globally and how might it impact the UK?
Sure. Well, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations is a collective of 10 member states in Southeast Asia. So we've got Brunei, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam in there. And that all equates to a combined GDP of approximately $3.6 trillion and a population of 660 million people. So it's clearly a big market. Actually, it's the third largest economy in Asia and the fifth largest globally, which many people don't realize, after the US, China, Japan, and Germany. In terms of growth, it's projected to grow at around 4.5% this year. And according to the IMF, ASEAN actually contributes to 10% of global growth. So very important on a macro stage. The region itself is currently pushing for digital transformation and private investment in digital infrastructure development. So 5G networks, cloud computing, cybersecurity, AI, and smart manufacturing. And earlier this month, ASEAN launched negotiations for an ASEAN Digital Economy Framework Agreement, which is touted to be the first major region-wide digital economy agreement in the world. So big news. If we're homing in a bit more on ASEAN-UK economic ties, the latest UK government data shows total trade in goods and services between the UK and ASEAN member states at standing around $46.5 billion for 2022. And going the other way for UK inward FDI from ASEAN, it's around about $15 billion. That data was back to 2021, but it's the latest I've seen. And against all of that, we've actually got loads going on. In July 2023, the UK announced a new £25 million ASEAN-UK economic integration programme. And that's aimed at supporting ASEAN economic integration and drive stronger, more equitable growth through better regulation, improved systems for trade, and wider access to financial services. So good news if you're working in those sectors. And even more recently than that, the UK government has signed a new strategic partnership with Singapore to help grow the UK's economy and enhance shared security. Singapore actually is one of the UK's closest and most dynamic partners in the ASEAN region. There's $21 billion of trade relationships, and that accounts for 40% of UK total trade with Southeast Asia. Singapore entities have a total of $226 billion invested in the UK. So that agreement really will harness the UK and Singapore's expertise in new technologies like cyber and IA to create AI to create jobs in both of our countries. And following on from all of that, and I'll pause for breath in a moment, following that strategic partnership, the UK and Singapore are going to work to conclude a new and modern bilateral investment treaty, which should be the first that the UK has negotiated since we left the EU. So lots going on, big market, all good news and opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you've made it sound like such a dynamic region. We have to ask that we have a number of Scottish entrepreneurs and businesses here that would be keen to explore international expansions and particularly into such a thriving region as ASEAN. So for those looking at the region, where do you see some of the opportunities for these businesses? What areas should they be paying attention to? What markets should they maybe go into?
It's a big question, I guess, because it's a big market. What's the dangers of a big region like ASEAN is generalizing across many diverse economies, cultures and opportunities. But just dealing with that question, I guess, in reverse, the first thing that I'd be encouraging Scottish companies and entrepreneurs looking to expand into ASEAN is to think about Singapore. It's one of the founding members of ASEAN, and it's always been respected for its economic stability and business-friendly environment. The IP protection regime is strong, it's strategically well located, and it's got superb connectivity and advanced infrastructure, and all of that underpinned by a highly skilled multilingual workforce. There's an extensive network of double tax agreements with more than 80 countries across the globe. And all of those factors combine to make Singapore a strategic gateway for enterprises and corporates from anywhere in the world, not just Scotland, who want to set up shop or strengthen their market position in the ASEAN region. So I mentioned Singapore because it's often whichever ASEAN markets you're looking to access, Singapore is often a key plank providing a gateway to those markets, and that's something we'll probably come back to. Singapore is actually Scotland's 11th largest export market.
Really?
It's leading export market in Asia, so that accounts for around £730 million to the Scottish economy. And I think it's fair to say that Scottish companies have been using Singapore for a long time to access other markets in Asia. So there is some familiarity there.
In terms of
sectors, I talked about that digital economic framework. So that points to cloud computing, cybersecurity, AI, smart manufacturing. But beyond that, we've got rising consumer spending power in the region. And that, of course, leads to a shift to more premium products across the ASEAN region. There's a lot of potential there for growing Scottish food and drink exports. Specifically, Singapore and Indonesia are very important markets for opportunities in health tech, energy transition, food and drink, and even space. And I guess when you go beyond that, the research and expertise and investment opportunities available in Scotland are also key for ASEAN in terms of providing support for those nations to achieve their net zero goals. Scotland's green investment portfolio really demonstrates Scotland as a world leader in future and innovative green industries, and that in itself has a current value of approximately $3.5 billion. The education sector is another one in Scotland that's relevant to ASEAN. 15 higher education institutions to choose from in Scotland, and leading universities such as Glasgow, I would say that first, being alumni, Edinburgh, St Andrews, all of those are well known among ASEAN students, and I can vouch for that. You know, there's people who I met on my accountancy course all those years ago that have become friends, and I'm still in touch with and doing business with. And as a little anecdote that I might throw in, around 10 years ago, I was in London dealing with a capital markets transaction for a Malaysian business. And I'd been through the bio of the management team and the CEO before I met them, spotted Glasgow Uni in the Malaysian CEO's bio. And when we got talking at the start of the meeting, we quickly discovered that not only have we lived on the same street, but in the same building, but in the same flat.
Wow.
Albeit 8 years apart. So in terms of icebreakers, they don't really get much better than that.
Absolutely. As a St. Andrews man myself, I've seen the cachet that it can have, having Scottish education, what that opens up to the rest of the world.
Absolutely.
Moving on from that, you've mentioned that Hawksford can support businesses that are looking to expand internationally. What sort of things might you do to help the people expand into the region?
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about the tremendous opportunity that exists in ASEAN for Scottish businesses looking to expand internationally. But people also need to be aware that they're unique, complex economies, and there are potential difficulties, pitfalls, and obstacles that you can fall into along the way. So, based on what our clients say they value from us, with that in mind, I suppose the first thing is our experience. We've been around for a long time, and we've got substantial expertise across ASEAN, across Asia, actually, and East Asia. And we've got around 140 people in Singapore with more than 20 years of knowledge of working successfully to help businesses expand into the ASEAN region. With that comes an appreciation of culture and language. Our team in Asia can speak over 29 languages.
29.
And we see ourselves really as providing a one-stop solution for starting and managing a business in ASEAN and in Singapore. So we assist clients with choosing the right kind of entity, using Singapore as a launch pad. We help them with their compliance requirements, tax and accounting, and that can include looking at tax incentives and other government incentives relevant to their business that they might otherwise find hard to access. Human resource management services is another area we help with, helping with employment visa applications, local compliances and employer needs. But I think above all of that, our clients keep talking to us about our networks. Because we've been there a long time, we're often in a position to help connect our clients who are new to the market with key players and stakeholders relevant to their business. And that's something that's highly valued by their clients as they're seeking to establish new networks and contacts in a market, an attractive market, a long way from home.
Oh, that sounds absolutely brilliant. In your experience from those companies that Hawksford has supported or perhaps elsewhere in your career, are there any key lessons that can be learned about how these companies can set up and operate their businesses within the ASEAN region and perhaps more specifically within Singapore? And are there any complexities or obstacles that people need to be aware of?
There is. I think being clear about your market entry plan and your strategy is key. It seems an obvious thing to say, but some people think they can just turn up and work it out when they get there. But actually, in a complex region far away from home, you can lose a lot of time and money if that's the way you go about it. So I think that a key lesson there is sitting down, working through which sectors you're trying to target, what incentives are there, what's the right structure to enter the market with, who are the people you need to do that with. They are really key things when entering the market. I think the other thing is prioritizing administrative and compliance responsibilities, making sure you've got the required upfront capital, making sure that the correct filings are made at the right time, because, good governance and compliance record are a good platform to enter a market. If you get them wrong, not only does it slow you down, but the reputational damage and how people view you can be quite damaging. And I think overarching all of that is finding ways to overcome language and cultural barriers is obviously going to be key. And you can do that by hiring local talent, or you can do it by working closely with a trusted and experienced partner such as Hawksford that understands the market, what's required, and can help you get set up, get on the ground, and get traction quickly.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, that sounds fantastic. Just throw in a quick bonus question, really. So what do you think Singapore will continue to grow and become a sort of center of international trade? Will it perhaps take over from Hong Kong?
I think Singapore and Hong Kong are both already very well established centres for international trade. And I think they cater to slightly different audiences and markets. I think you might see Hong Kong, for example, becoming more of a lens to the world for Chinese investment, or having more of a bias to that, whereas in the past it's probably been more biased as a lens to China for the rest of the world. I think in Singapore finds its own way. I don't think it competes with Hong Kong. It's got its own place, and as a gateway to ASEAN at a time when the UK is putting a lot of effort into expanding global trade and finding new trading partners, and entering, of course, CPTPP, I always get the initials wrong, but the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. There's a lot of chips in the right places, a very, very strong platform to build from, and a lot of willing. Businesses want to access these exciting, fast growth markets from Scotland into Asia, and of course, there's a lot of ASEAN investment looking at coming back the other way, and not just in commercial business areas, but also in terms of hard investments, real assets, real estate, and other areas that have often been popular investment choices in Asia. So lots going on, and I think the future's particularly bright for Singapore and the ASEAN region as a whole. And with all of that in mind, we'd be absolutely delighted to hear from any Scottish entrepreneur or business who's considering expanding into the region. If that's just a short conversation to point you in the right direction or something bigger, doesn't matter to us. It'll be a joy to hear from you, and hopefully we can get you started on your journey.
Excellent. Well, suppose that sounds like a fantastic place to be. And if there's anyone who's going to help you in, it's going to be Hawksford. So Gavin Wilkins, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much, Sean. It's been a pleasure to join you.
Thank you.